This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning, Pastor Brian de Villiers, as we're going to start a new series today, Great New Testament Conversions. I want to speak to you about Matthew, the tax collector, and I want to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and I read from verse 27, and this is what it says. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do they eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so we've read in these words about Matthew. The conversion of Matthew is recorded in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, and also Mark chapter 2, 13 to 14, and Luke that we just read from this morning, chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. And it is significant that when Matthew is given his testimony in Matthew 9, verse 9, this is what we read. And Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. So there we have it. He does it in one short verse. This would seem to indicate the modesty of this man who became one of our Lord's most trusted first followers, Levi, or Matthew, as he became known after his conversion, was a publican. He collected taxes for the Roman government. And it is possible that, like Zacchaeus, and many of the tax gatherers of that day, lined his own pockets very well at the same time. If this was the case, he would be a hated man, and he would be regarded as an extortioner. He took money from other people. On the other hand, we need to remember that Levi was a deeply religious man. For this reason, at any rate, he should have been an honest tax collector. One day, however, the Lord Jesus passed Matthew's office, saw him hard at work, and called him to follow him. It happened as simply as that, as we learn from verse 27 of Luke chapter 5. And these things went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." There you have it. He said to him simply, "Follow me." And what was Matthew's response? It was unreserved and immediate, as we learn from verse 28, and this is what it says. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Do you get that? He left all, rose up, and he followed him. Notice the three pictures which are brought before us. One, Matthew counting his money. We read again Luke 5, 27. And after these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." There we have it. It tells us when Jesus saw him, he was sitting at the receipt of custom. His money bags were full, and his account books were kept with meticulous care. How do we know this? We know it because Matthew's care of accuracy and detail is very evident in his gospel. So look at Matthew counting his money. Matthew immersed in his job. Matthew not at all liked by the people who had to come and pay their taxes. Well, none of us like paying taxes, do we? Matthew, who was probably rich and probably lonely, and Matthew was an efficient and methodical and a keen businessman. This was the man Jesus called, and called while he was doing his job. Fancy Jesus choosing this man, but he did. He called him away from tax collecting to follow him. How often this very incident has been repeated down the centuries. Moody was selling boots when Edward Kimball called him out of the Boston shoe shop and led him to Christ. What about Dr. Billy Graham? Came to Christ as a young man. He was taking people to a meeting, but he didn't want to actually be at the meeting himself. And he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Others have been set for brilliant professions, careers, when God has laid his hand upon them and called them to be fishers of men. Often the Lord does the unexpected thing. We would not have thought of Matthew becoming an ardent disciple of the Lord Jesus, or of, for that matter, Peter, James, or John. But such is the Lord's sovereign and gracious way of calling people. When we turn again to Luke chapter 4, and we read from verse 18, and this is what it says to us. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and this is what it tells us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, and has set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Perhaps we should point out here that a man does not have to leave his secular calling to become a Christian, or a wholehearted, dedicated follower of the Lord. Matthew did have to do this for obvious reasons. And so have a good look at him counting his money. Number two, Matthew changing his mind. A tremendous change took place very quickly in this man. And we read of it here in the account in verse 27, and this is what verse 27 tells us. It says, "And after these things he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Verse 28, "So he left all, rose up, and he followed him." Did all this really happen as suddenly as this? The answer is yes and no. Yes, because verse 28 tells us, "So he left all, rose up, and followed him." He leaves us in no doubt at all about it. Matthew's response was immediate, but there is a sense in which it may not have been as immediate as it seems, for surely Matthew had given this matter a great deal of thought. Dr. Alexander White makes the suggestion that Matthew had been acquainted with Jesus for a long time, and that perhaps Jesus himself had visited Matthew on a number of occasions to pay taxes. We do not know, but what we do know is that Matthew was a thoughtful man, and here we are told that he was a man who changed his mind. That really and truly is what repentance is all about. Repentance is about changing your mind. Repentance says, "I was going in one direction, I've done an about turn, and I'm going in another direction." To repent is to change your mind about God, about Christ, sin, and self. Our minds get changed. We see that God is the most wonderful, loving, heavenly Father we could ever know in all of our lives. We see in the Lord Jesus Christ someone that came to earth to die to save us, and he took our place at Calvary's cross. We see how bad sin is, because sin brings separation, and that we ourselves are not as good as we thought we were. The Christian life and the things of time and eternity, that's what it's about. So in all probability, Matthew was ready when the call came, prepared by the Lord himself. He was a religious, but longing for reality. You got that? He was longing for reality. Just like so many people today, you might be listening to me this morning. Maybe you have a longing for reality in your life. Now I want to say to you very simply today, the reality is that Jesus Christ is real, that Jesus Christ came into our world, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine, and Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and Jesus Christ is alive today. In all probability, he had recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah and was already convinced of this, so that when Jesus came and called him, he got up and went off to follow Jesus. Take a good look at Matthew. Matthew changing his mind. Number three, Matthew confessing his Maker. Matthew had no thought of doing this secretly. He did it so publicly that in no time his actions would have been the talk of the town. Notice that there were at least three special ways in which Matthew confessed his Master. By leaving his sins. We are told this in verse 28. It says, he left all. I want you to get that. He left all. It certainly includes the whole idea of turning away from anything which was shady, underhanded, or dishonest in his business. You see, to become a Christian means that it means being utterly honest before the Lord and before others. You've got to be honest with others, but above all, you've got to be honest with yourself. Number two, by telling friends. He did this in a special way. Verse 29, then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. Did you get that? He gave this banquet. He invited all his fellow tax collectors and others to come and to be with me. And this tells me that Matthew made a feast in his house. He invited his friends to come and meet the Lord Jesus Christ and hear about his conversion. Of course, this resulted in opposition, as we learn from verse 30 and 32. This is what it says. And the scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus said to them, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinners to repentance. And we need to see that very, very clearly. And so as a result of this, Matthew invited them all to come and hear about his conversion and to meet his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was now on the Lord's side, and the Lord was on his side. Remember the words of Joshua 24, verse 16? Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that is what Matthew was saying to all those who came to his house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By writing his book, what an achievement it was to write what was now known as the Gospel according to Matthew. And what a book the Gospel of Matthew really is. Love, I want to say to you this morning, always finds many ways for quiet but definite open confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew found at least these three ways. He left his sins. He told his friends. He wrote his book. Take a good look at Matthew's confessing his master. Are you definite? Let me ask you that question this morning. Are you definite? Are you open? Are you dedicated follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to say to you this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not found reality, because many people today, young and old, are looking for reality in their lives. And I want to say to you this morning, you will only find reality in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14 verse 6, Jesus says of himself, I am the way. He's the only way. I am the truth. You want to know truth? You come to know Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. How can he become the life? Because the moment you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, you receive him as your personal Savior. He comes to live inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he gives you a new power within you, a new dynamic that you can live day by day, looking to Jesus, trusting the Lord Jesus, and living life to its very full. And I want to say, knowing him brings a reality to your life. It gives you a purpose for living. Why are we here in this world? What is the purpose for life? Our purpose is to glorify God and to tell others about him and to love him forever. That's the purpose we have, you and I. The old hymn puts it so well. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. The call this morning, like the call was to Matthew. Matthew, will you come and will you follow me? That's what Jesus is saying to you this morning. And if this has spoken to your heart in any way today, I pray that right now we're going to pray a prayer. And if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, I pray you're going to pray that prayer this morning, that you're going to submit yourself to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life today. I need your presence. I need your help. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I realize this morning I have a great need of you in my life. I have been longing for reality, and I believe that only reality can be found in you. I now open my heart, my life to you. I ask you to come in. Come in today. Come in to stay. I receive you as my Savior. And I thank you that you've forgiven me of all my sins, past, present, and future. Thank you that I'm a child of God. And thank you that the Holy Spirit comes in to lead me and to guide me. Well, I thank you that you've prayed that prayer this morning. And I pray it will help you today. There's going to be a new reality in your life, just like Matthew had. You're going to know Jesus Christ and him living his life within you and through you. That will make the world sees something different about you today because you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you're going to have a wonderful day today. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you again. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.